Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, do I even need to ask how you're doing today?
Wonderful, Sal. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful.
Oh, you're outstanding.
We got a brand new guest. First ever, longtime listener, first time on the podcast, Taylor Wetley with Solymphtec. And Taylor, before we introduce you or get too far into the topic, which is robotics, by the way, robotic sprayers, but before you get there, we have to have the question of the day. And Taylor, what is your most used or favorite app that's on your phone?
Yeah, so for me, favorite app and most used as well actually is my Spotify app. So travel a lot, so using that for everything from podcast to music.
Really?
Listen to the high ground.
Do you listen to the High Ground on Spotify?
I do. It's on there. Yes. That's another major reason I listen to it.
Oh, nice touch, Jeff.
He opened the door. I went through it.
That's right. Do you have to pay a subscription for that?
Yeah, there is. I think it's maybe $9.99 or so a month. So you can listen to it for free with ads, but I pay the ad free version.
What's the other one for music?
There's Apple Music as well.
No, there's another one. The reason I'm asking is I found out that we are paying for two music apps in my family. Out of the three folks in our nuclear family, we've got two. We got Spotify, and then we have another one. Can't think of the other one. I don't know.
I can't help you.
But anyway.
So what's your...
Jeff,
what's
mine?
No, I want you to go first so I don't steal your thunder.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, it happens one time with a knock-knock joke. But I think I use maps. I use the Google Maps all the time. But something that's... I use that I never thought I would use as much as I do today is the OneDrive, where you can access all your documents. You may not be able to manipulate a spreadsheet on your iPhone, but you can certainly find it, and that helps me with OneNote and all the other things that I do. So just having everything on OneDrive.
Yeah.
And yours, Jeff?
You know, it seems like I'm on that phone all the time. You know, it's, but I would say, Google Maps is good because I use that all the time, mostly for checking for, speed traps. But probably on the social media apps, I would probably say Facebook. I do like Facebook. I do like to, besides having, staying in touch with all the family and stuff, just friends that I've stayed in touch with over the years that, we've got a lot of miles, a lot of time between us, but I still kind of know what's going on with them and vice versa. So I do like that about Facebook.
I've got to get back on there. I haven't been on there for probably a year or two, but my wife keeps me in the loop, but you're spot on with that family stuff. Cause now that's how extended family kind of keeps in touch.
Sure.
And they've got the Facebook where they can network and we got a family page now, I found out.
Yeah, so, old high school friends, old college friends. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Neat. Well, Taylor, introduce yourself, please. Tell us a little bit of your work history and then kind of where you're at today. So kind of tell us where you're from. A drive down, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm Taylor Wetley. I'm the U.S. commercial manager for Solymphtec. And I've been with the company now going on 5 years. Just a family history and kind of background on personally me. I'm from Fowler, Indiana, which is northwest of West Lafayette, about 30 minutes.
Benton County.
Yes, Benton County. You got it. Yep. And grew up on a family farm there. We farm corn and soybeans there. And then went to Purdue University for my education after high school. Actually, while there, kind of got into ag technology early on, had a little drone startup there with some engineers as well, kind of early on as drones were being brought to the market. But as I graduated from Purdue, worked for a larger corporation early on for a couple of years, but then joined Solymphtec after that, So just wanted to be a part of a kind of a cutting edge company that's working closely with ag retailers, with growers, and bringing the technology to the market.
Well, speaking of which, and I think one of the things that Solymphtec, tell us a little bit about the company. Kind of give us a company overview because that's in one of the other Americas, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Born
in a couple.
There is. Yeah. Born in the South America, particularly in Brazil, still founder ran. So we have our founders that actually immigrated from Cuba and started the company. Early on, we were working very closely in sugarcane. So that was our first technology solution.
In Brazil.
Okay. Yes, correct. And for those that aren't familiar, Brazil is the number one sugarcane producing country in the world. And so with that, very vertically integrated as well. A lot of those operations sometimes are 100,000 acres, or we even have customers that are over 1 million acres. But if you can imagine that scale, there's a lot of equipment to manage. And so we went to work early on building a telematics monitoring solution. Essentially, think about it as fleet management, managing harvesters, wagons, everything to go toward bringing the sugarcane to the mill. And so with all that equipment, some of our customers have around 80, 90 harvesters. And so that's obviously a nightmare regarding logistics. And so we built AI into that to recommend when to send the harvesters in order to keep that harvester, the most expensive asset, moving and not stopped. So some of our customers went from, 85 harvesters down to, 70 over 3 or 4 years of using our variety of solutions. And so that's what we really worked on the first 10 years of the company. And then from there, we got into row crop throughout South America, other crops like coffee, citrus and such. And then when I joined the company, really a little over 5 years ago, where we set up shop in West Lafayette, Indiana, that's where our US headquarters is. We started working very closely with ag retail. So utilizing a lot of that AI and scheduling tools with ag retail in order to recommend when to send sprayers and spreaders to increase efficiencies and everything like that. And then as of lately, we began bringing our autonomous Solix platform to the market. So kind of across the variety of those solutions, what we were missing was what's going on at the agronomic level operationally within these operations. So that's what Solix was born from, and what we're bringing to the market here over the last 2 years.
Okay. Before we get into Solix, the fleet management for the ag retail. So when I think of SolinfTech, I think of the Solix autonomous sprayers, which we're going to get to, but so you've got a fleet management, kind of a dispatch app that's more of what you've built the company on, pretty much, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So early on, across all of those crop types and across different types of customers, that's what we were doing, building a software with hardware as well, onboard computers on the machine, and utilizing that to recommend when to send the schedules, when to do work. A prime example is if you're a retailer and you have 50 work orders to do for the day at that location, there's all kinds of different labels, products on those work orders, different field locations, different crop types. With that, can you take all of that information and actually recommend what is the optimal route to do that in? Thinking about getting across those acres in the most efficient way, modeling those tank cleanouts so you're not, switching products back and forth, looking at weather forecast as well, all around getting across those acres in the most efficient way operationally, but also with good product efficacy, thinking about applying on label. If you have a weather window from 2 to 5 p.m. at a particular field, let's put that field and apply it from 2 to 5. So taking a lot of what current operational managers are doing in their head, but putting that on the computer and letting them schedule from there and being a tool for them.
Wow. Very good. Well, that brings us to how you evolved to what's going on with agronomy in the field. And not this past summer, but the summer before, we piloted a few of the autonomous sprayers. And if you are in the Premier Ag Trade Territory, you might have seen one of these sprayers out there creeping across the field. Or if you come to the answer plots, we've had them there too. Tell us a little about those.
Yeah, so kind of alluding to those last solutions that we had, Solix fits within those solutions and being able to monitor what's going on at the field. So the platform we've been working on for over 5 years now, but recently launching it commercially in partnership with Premier over the last couple of years. But what it started as was just a scout, having something scouting in the field, understanding what's going on, understanding emergence, understanding crop health, understanding exactly where all those weeds are in the field. And so we just had a scouting version of the robot.
That was the initial one.
That was the initial kind of minimal viable product.
Same booms or same the cameras.
It didn't even have booms on it yet. That was before we even launched it commercially. From there, you know, we were getting all this data. Why not actually execute on the task of killing weeds now? Was kind of where that was born from. So all of these spraying robots also do scouting. You know, they're scouting, understanding crop health, understanding different layers of the field, but also now applying in the field. And so the unit, just for the viewers, is a solar powered unit with a battery bank on the underside that basically allows it to run continuously. A 40-foot boom on the front, with cameras that are controlling the nozzles, having independent nozzle control. And so through our Alice AI, we identify where those weeds are and just spray those weeds as we go across the field, kind of acting as almost a rolling residual going across the field continuously, maintaining that field, getting the weeds when they're very small. And when you do that, you can obviously kill those weeds easier.
Wow. That's I guess for the people that have not seen one of these, maybe we can put a picture of one.
Yeah, let's do that.
Send us a picture. Mm-hmm. We'll put that up on there. Because it's kind of space age looking, and you see it going, it goes across the field real slow. So 40-foot boom. If you're just seeing and spraying a weed, you know, how long does it take you to cover, you know, the acres? Can you speak to that?
Yeah. And so I talk about the scouting piece as well, because it really relates to the overall concept of continuously going across the field throughout the whole season. But just thinking about how much acreage it's doing a day, we're doing around 50 acres per day, and that's dependent on field size and other variables. And so with that, we'll continuously go over that acreage roughly every 7 to 10 days. So if you want to think about full capacity of the robot, each one can handle maybe around 400 to 500 acres. And that's partially around also the concept of going over that acreage every 7 to 10 days. So through our partnership with Purdue and some of the research team there, we've kind of figured out that sweet spot of going across the acreage in a typical year and how weeds will emerge. And typically that's around every 7 to 10 days. So going over that field that frequently, maintaining those weeds as they emerge. Then while you're there as well, understanding growth stage, understanding if there's any agronomic issues in the field in order to have those insights as well.
Because it's not just a sprayer. It's also making a scouting pass at the same time. So you're getting all this feedback from what's going on out there as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's really, especially where Premier comes in. And I think where a lot of the value that through the platform, they're going to be able to deliver to the growers. Thinking about all that data that's being generated and having, you know, agronomists and account managers on the Premier team, all of a sudden having that availability to that continuous data throughout the season where they can take that data. And I think it's going to be what's exciting over time is what kind of models can we build with that? What kind of opportunities can we utilize, maybe even thinking about applying a micro or a fungicide later in the season. There's a lot of opportunities with that information that I don't even think that we've begun to touch, but I think we're just on the tip of the iceberg for that.
See, we wanted to launch our own program, and we were going to have Sal walk the fields and do a scouting. But he starts balking at putting that backpack sprayer on, and then it was hard to get him to cover a 40-foot swath. And so that's when we decided we better go with SlimTech.
Those 3-foot booms just took too long. Wasn't getting my 500 acres in.
That's fair. I think if we can build our AI to be as smart as Sal, though, I think we'll be going somewhere.
We'll be going somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe to prison, but you know, that's
so what this the AI, I mean, so this year, like, you have a weed as it goes, and I'm glad Jeff brought it up because we think about it in terms of spraying, but that's not what it's a thing it's doing. But before he ever sprays, it has to figure out that that's a weed, right? How does it tell the difference between a lamb's quarter weed or something and a soybean? I mean, how does it do that?
Yeah. So currently we have a variety of AI models, and they're based on per crop. So corn and soybeans are the major ones that we're utilizing in the U.S. I think there's also three other ones really that we're utilizing as well. So one of those being wheat, cotton, as well as sugarcane. And so basically we've trained our Alice AI on what that particular crop looks like at every crop stage, what it looks like in no-till and tillage, everything like that. And then we're spraying everything that's not.
Everything not that.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And so that's kind of the start of that. Going into next season and the coming years, the next layer is starting to identify a broadleaf versus a grass. And then specifically starting with, you know, water hemp and some of those really troublesome weeds. But, it, you know, as we think about the platform in general, right now we have dual plumbing. But if you can start to identify a broadleaf versus a grass, you could then put with our dual tanks, a grass killer and a broadleaf in there and be even more efficient with those products and hopefully get even a better kill. But that's just a progression of that AI.
So if I've got water hemp coming up in this row, then, you know, on the other side of that soybean plant, there's, you know, there's, I don't know, crabgrass, whatever. So you're saying that thing can see that, spray both weeds with the appropriate herbicide and take them out.
That's the idea in the future. Currently, we're just spraying, you know, all as one, whatever is a weed with the same mix.
So it's kind of a tank mix.
Exactly. Type. Yeah. So we're matching the tank mix in accordance with what you typically would apply on that field, just at a much smaller quantity and being very focused with that targeted application.
And you talk about small quantities. So I know when we went through the first season with just a couple of two or three robots, and then we've upped that to what we had 12 this last mm-hmm. year. You know, can you talk a little bit about the reduced amount of herbicide going onto that acre compared to conventional spraying?
Yeah. So year one, particularly on the couple of premier fields that we had, and last year was also a drier year, so there wasn't as much weeds. We saw around just on the two fields there, around 94% reduction in that post herbicide on those fields. This coming season, there was still a great optimization, but obviously getting it across more challenging acres as well as a, I would say a more challenging season with more rain, kind of an interesting planting window as well, brought up some challenges. There was a reduction in some fields still up to around 90, 98% even in some fields, but some fields that were lower around 50 to 60%. Across those,
which is significant still. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it may not be 90, but it's half is still a pretty significant number.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So with that, some of that reduction across those 12, 13 fields was around the 70 to 80% average across all of those fields. So still a great kind of optimization, but just speaking to how each year can be a little bit more different and challenging depending on weather conditions and everything like that.
So for the growers, kind of the mechanics, the, I guess logistics, a better word, we still, if you're going to have one of those sprayers this coming year, and we'll get to that to talk to your account manager, but we'll put down one layer of residuals, correct?
Correct.
And then the Solix sprayer comes in and it sprays what's not the crop. It picks out through the AI that you're not supposed to be there. And you got sprayed.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So it takes over then weed control as you're rolling residual. The farmer's also getting that digital experience as well. Thinking about understanding the stand count early on for maybe replant decisions, understanding crop stage, understanding maybe what problem areas there is weeds in. So getting that really close relationship with the field and then having that data available to the account managers as well.
Can you explain that as, and this may be coming in this coming year, but so can the farmer, can he look live? Does he have access to the app? So kind of explain what, so it's a Saturday afternoon, the sprayer is out there running. What can he do? How does he access it? Or what is it like, the interface?
Yeah, so that grower has a particular unique login able to access. It's essentially a digital twin of their field where they can see that robot moving in the field, or if it's stopped, they can see it stopped. So they can have that just visibility with what's going on in the field, seeing what it's doing, seeing tanks levels and things like that. But then they can also run different scouting reports for what it's already done. So they can run those reports in that system, see, again, you know, weed maps, crop health maps, everything like that.
Wow. Okay.
You talked about using AI, and you know that's a term that's, you know, people are just getting exposed to in the last mm-hmm. you know few years. You know, and I think it scares some people. Is there? I mean, what's the I guess, how can you explain artificial intelligence and that it's a good thing that we can use, not to be scared of it? Because, I mean, we hear some horror stories that involve with AI. So,
well, they made a movie about it, Terminator.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary stuff.
Self-aware. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a buzzword and it's almost overused nowadays in the last year, it seems like. But I don't think it's something to be scared at all. What it's going to allow for the grower is them to actually try different things at smaller scales in their field more in time, more in the season, and trial different areas and things like that. And then get those recommendations from the AI to validate a decision earlier, where often, you know, we were waiting till the end of the season until we ran across the field, harvested, saw the yield map to see the difference. Now, if you have something running through the field utilizing AI, you can start to understand what that product did to the crop in season and maybe catch something early in order to, not have to gauge it at the end of the season, but make a calculation and a decision in season. So I think it's going to allow a lot of real-time decisions. I think it's just starting. I think in agronomy, we're going to see a lot of opportunities as we get retail crop protection companies utilizing it altogether. I think the end benefit to the grower is going to be huge.
Well, just want to point out that it's new, mm-hmm. right? Year before last, or 23, was the actual pilot. This is kind of a soft commercial launch that we're doing now. And, one of the things, I'll parrot our CEO, if it's good for the grower, it's ultimately going to be good for Premier Ag. And it's up to us to look at new technology. And we'll probably be housing this in the tracks department as far as going forward. But to look at new technologies like this, make the investment, and back to what Jeff said, is make sure that we're not being left behind or scared or intimidated by some of the new technology that's coming. And artificial intelligence or learning models, however we want to call them, we're going to be using them more, not less. And so,
absolutely.
You know, we met with another one of our providers yesterday about a pilot program that we'll be doing, which is going to have its own AI. And that's going to be a part of business going forward.
You know, there's just some things we've got a fleet of $750,000 sprayers with 120-foot booms and going across the field at 16 mile an hour. You know, that's good for getting something applied, but we cannot gather data like we can with these, Solex sprayers. So that's, it's a completely different, tool that we're using. And like Sal said, this is leading, edge technology, and we want to be a part of that for our customer. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
parts of it scares us, by the way.
Yeah, sure. Rightfully so, right? It's a new technology. There's a lot of learning to do, and it is evolving. It is. But I think the future isn't one way or the other. I think it's a mixed fleet of a lot of these things. You know, drones probably fit in there some too, but all centered around the ag retailer and the grower. And what do you do with that data? How do you make different decisions, ultimately with the goal of higher yields? But I think, they all kind of fit together in some way.
Very good.
Yeah. So what's as you look into your crystal ball, I've learned it. For you techie types, all we have to do is be able to dream it, and you guys figure out how to do it. So as you look into your crystal ball, what's...
In Jeff and I's mind, that's how it works.
Not everybody thinks that way.
Yeah, there's a little bit of legwork underneath that. But yeah, I think the opportunity is huge with this technology. Some of the future things that we're excited to get in Premier's hands.
Give us something that nobody knows about yet. We need a scoop.
Yeah, yeah. So next year with Premier, we will be utilizing at least one auto refill station. So we're launching that really at a limited scale next year. Just it's still very early, but right now the robot gets manually refilled, similar to like you would a big rig, just much less product, so quicker. However, going forward and kind of think about a grand vision of the product, auto refill is going to be a big piece of that. So think of an auto refill station with 250 gallon totes, solar powered again, plumbing on the back. And then what that has is a camera and an actuator around the hose that the sprayer will back up to that, that unit. And then it will automatically make that refill. And so there's multiple totes, which makes it interesting as well. Thinking back to the scouting part, think about if you can see a resistant weed or a certain area of the field that needs this attention in this product. Thinking about AI and long term, can the robot make that decision and then go back to that auto refill and pull whatever corresponding product it needs? That's the opportunity long term. Near term is just that optimization of labor. Labor's an issue across many industries, but with that auto refill, that'll allow the robot to be nearly fully autonomous and not even need refill, just automatically refill.
So this is like the fighter jet
in
the sky and pulling up and exactly. reloading the fuel. So the sprayer is going to go up. I'm running low, or hey, I saw this weed, so I'm gonna go get a little of that liquid fire death and go spray that one with, whatever. So
exactly. Yep. A slower version of that.
It just kind of hit me just sitting here. We just asked the question of the day was your favorite app. And it wasn't a couple hours ago. Jeff and I were talking about his first cell phone and how it was mounted
in the trunk of the car.
Right. Yeah. Big analog power unit, blasting out all this RF energy out into the atmosphere. And now we're talking about which different apps and downloading music or using the maps and now autonomous sprayer. So that's fascinating.
You think about it, eventually the farmer will be able to, he can control his irrigation units, he'll be able to control his robotic sprayer. I mean, it's kind of cool.
It is certainly, it's not sneaking up on us. It's like everything we're doing now, seems like. Awesome. Well, Taylor, anything else for us?
No, I don't think so. I just want to thank you guys for having me on.
All right. We'll probably put a video of some of the, maybe tag a video in or maybe put some pictures up as we go through this. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're driving, don't be watching this on while you're driving, but sometime when you're safely parked, you can pull up the YouTube. We're available on YouTube or Spotify. And Jeff, you got anything else?
No, I think this is exciting stuff. We're looking forward to getting those sprayers back out next summer and seeing what you got to offer.
Sounds great.
Well, that's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Please like and subscribe. Thank you all.
Thank you.